刮胡万刮木那个那乌乌乌那乌乌乌乌阿达米勒勒
Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe.
Yayo, Africa, wasa 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 lele,
wasa lele.
Yayo, Africa,
wasa lele,
wasa wasa wasa.
Jambo, everyone, and thank you for tuning into this special edition of the Radio Harambe podcast, brought to you by JamboEveryone.com. I am Dave McBride, broadcasting as always from the Radio Harambe studios, and joining me, as always, is Safari Mike. Mike, how are you today?
Good, Dave. How are you?
Not too bad. Mike, right after our last episode, literally within, a matter of 12 hours or so of recording, Disney released a slew of information regarding Walt Disney World, but really, most of the information they released was regarding Disney's Animal Kingdom. And it was, I believe, Mike, right, as part of a press event for the Seven Dwarfs mine train opening, something like that.
Correct. Yeah, they had the, they put the press or, you know, the media on the Seven Dwarfs mine coaster and, you know, let them go gaga over it. And then told them about a couple of things that are coming in the future.
So rather than wait a couple of weeks for our next show, when much of this information would probably be dated and discussed and beaten around the internet and the Twitter sphere, we thought we'd release this special all-news episode. So, Mike, let's get right into it. The first thing is the Harambe Nights. When we broadcasted or recorded a few days ago, we had official information, but the next morning, and this is really the thrust of what we got the next day, it revolves around artist renderings. Which is really sometimes the best way to get information on design features and what to expect, or at least a lot of times you can. And they released a few artist renderings of the Harambe Nights.
Right.
Which gives us a little bit of a clue into a few things. If you go to JamboEveryone.com and then click on the blog, you will find right after you get past our first posting for the latest and now slightly outdated episode of Radio Harambe, you'll get to these posts. Each one of these subjects we're going to talk about has a different post, and the artist concept drawings are all there. The first thing, there's two for the Harambe Nights, and the first thing that stands out for me, Mike, I think is the one that they show the performance of this. The show they're going to do, Lion King Concert in the Wild. A lot of people are calling it, the Lion King version of the Christmas show done over at
Epcot. The Candlelight Processional?
Yeah. There's been some funny little attempts to make those two words smash together, but so far nothing that really sticks in my head.
The big one is that they both have celebrity narrators.
Yeah, celebrity narrators. You see an orchestra there. You see a chorus there. Uh-huh. You see some sort of performance dancing type things. you can't really tell what that is. And the way they do these artist renderings, especially these two, there's really not a whole lot of art in this. They're kind of jamming together sort of stock photos and things like that to make something happen. But the thing that stuck out to me, Mike, the first thing that really hit me was that it is not a show that's going to be in the round, so to speak. And
right.
By that I mean that you can sit all the way around the entire theater, which the Festival of the Lion King theater we assume is going to be an in the round theater, just like the old one was. So the one that what that says to me is it seems like we're going to have maybe a little bit more of a limit on this than we really thought we were going to have capacity wise.
Right, and I've already heard rumors that the first night is sold out.
I've heard that too.
So, but you know what's interesting about that first piece of art to me is that, one, clearly any thoughts that this was going to be very much like the other Lion King show, the one that everybody sees, is out the window. Because this is obviously nothing like Festival of the Lion King. And number two, another thing that struck me was, it looks like they have and this could just be the artist drawing, but it looks like it's almost like high def screens or something around the back there that's showing, artistic renderings of the Lion King scene of the sun rising at the beginning.
Sure.
I wonder, if they have high def screens in there, I wonder if that's going to be incorporated into the Festival of the Lion King show itself as well.
It looked to me like just a sort of temporary lowering background.
Could be.
But it could be a high def screen that just lowers in the background, to cut off the rest of the theater. That is something I kind of went back and forth on that. The two that you see, if you're looking at the concept on the very left and the very right, with the tree and the sun behind, those to me look like just sort of, a piece of set design.
Could be.
But the one straight behind is the very, in these two different photos, in these two different pieces of set, the sun is in a different spot. So that makes me think, maybe I'm thinking about it too much, but it makes me think that what you're looking at in the middle is actually, like Mike was saying, a clip from The Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
And that sun is rising, and everybody's hands are up in the air too. So, but again, yes, you run the danger of taking a little bit too much out of these from time to time.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And we are, like you said, we are assuming that the theater is going to be a theater in the round, just like the old show was.
Right.
But Disney hasn't said that was true.
Not that I'm aware of. So that's difficult to see. Difficult to predict. The set that you see here in this picture looks very underwhelming. But the set in the Festival of the Lion King was very underwhelming. There wasn't much set work involved.
No, it was just the old floats from the Lion King parade in Disneyland. Yeah,
which we see none of the floats at all there.
Right.
So it's difficult to see. Now, if we scroll down, do you have anything else on this one from the inside, Mike, before we move on to the next one?
Not from that piece of concept art, a little bit more about Harambe Nights in general, but why don't we go to the next one?
Okay, the next picture down, if you kind of scroll down a little bit, or if you're looking at another website, you'll see the pictures. The second one is from what they're calling this street party thing. one thing kind of sticks out in my mind on this is the lighting of the entire village looks really interesting. They're also showing kind of a meet and greet over in the corner, wait staff walking around handing out hors d'oeuvres. I don't see a bar anywhere. There's Buridika. I see what else you get out of it? I see a couple of looks like could be cast members from the Festival of Lion King in there.
A bizarre looking giraffe thing in the back.
Right.
Whatever that is. And Timon and Rafiki and, mixing with the crowd. And
right.
It's almost like a dance party with food and drinks.
And this guy really getting his groove on right in front of Buridika there. If you see him, he's going to... he's really getting after it. I think it looks very small. There are only a handful of people in there. I think that's just sort of tossed in. But other than that, I don't really get much more out of this picture other than this sort of wait staff service rather than a big buffet sitting somewhere.
Correct. Although, it almost looks like, I don't know what that is in front of us with the two, three people standing around. It looks like a table, I guess. I don't even know.
It's like a small buffet.
It does kind of look like that. But
yeah. And then right in front of, just to point out what I'm talking about, right in front of Rafiki and Timon, you'll see a cast member there holding
a tray.
Yeah. Like a cocktail party.
Right.
Walking around like that. So, but let's move on to what we know informationally, what we've gotten kind of out of the new information regarding this. You said you had a couple things, so why don't you go ahead?
Sure. Well, number one, we know that obviously it starts at 7 and there's some sort of pre-show appetizer kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if this is what that's trying to depict, this second picture.
Yeah.
But we do know that the show was going to start at 7:30. And the show was approximately 55 minutes long. So that means that the show will end at around 8:30. 8:30, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which means you have another 2 hours for the party in the streets and all that, which is when the buffet dinner is supposed to be and all that kind of stuff. The African buffet and what they're calling gourmet desserts.
Sure.
We do know that, and this was kind of up in the air when we last talked, but it's been confirmed that at the very least beer and wine is included.
Okay.
What we don't know is how long they're going to serve it. I mean, are they just serving it pre-show? Are they just serving it post-show? They're only serving it, I don't know.
Right.
Is it going to be a situation like the dessert parties in Epcot that recently sprung up, where there's basically two different kinds of alcohol? It's basically all you can drink, but it's only, you know, sparkling wine from Washington. Or I mean, we don't know that. All we know is they do say beer and wine. They don't say anything else. So I don't even know if there's going to be like an open bar.
Right.
You know, there just might be somebody there serving, you know, beer and wine. I'm presuming, based upon the wording of it, is that the Dawa bar will not be open. And if you want a Sugar McKay Mojito, you can get one if you want to spend the money. It doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that. No, it offers nothing about buying liquor on your own.
The only thing it says you could buy is, you know, merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that there will be no discounts offered at all. No annual pass discounts. No DVC discounts, no Disney Visa Chase card, you know, Visa card discounts.
Yeah.
It's $1.20 or $1.40, depending on what kind of seating you want. I also have confirmed that the resort buses will be available for you. So if you were worried about that, there will be busing till well after the party's over.
I wonder if you show up at 8:30, if they're still going to let you in.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting to see.
I mean, like, I missed the show entirely. That seems kind of pointless.
I mean, who knows? I have just a couple of quick comments.
Sure.
Number one, a lot of people are focusing on this beer and wine thing. You know, how many beers can you drink in an hour? How are they going to be able to police that? Are they going to be giving out tickets? You hear that a lot. Listen, it's not that hard to control this. It's not that hard if you're Disney to ensure that people don't throw down 7 beers inside of an hour. It really isn't that hard. I mean, you could do it if you really go on a mission, but if you just really pace out, you know, the servers and limit the places where you can pick it up. I mean, if there's 600 people in this thing and you have one kiosk that's handing out beer and wine, you know, there's just only so much they can give out.
Plus, also, if you limit
how many you can take.
Right, and the space that they actually serve it. They may only serve it from 8:30 to 9:30 and stop serving beer and alcohol, you know, beer and wine at 9:30.
Right.
So, I mean, how much are you going to really drink in an hour? I mean,
exactly.
But people seem to be focusing on it, in all fairness, is to determine whether or not it's worth the price. I mean, that's really what we're looking at. And we don't know anything about the menu yet either. Although they are saying that it's going to be a buffet. I mean, it's going to be like legit food,
right,
and there's going to be appetizers ahead of time. So I'm assuming it's going to be a Tusker Housey kind of buffet.
Right. And if that's the case and there's enough there and you know, the thing that kind of sticks out to me here, Mike, is that there's no place to sit down. So it doesn't look, I mean, from these pictures, nobody's sitting down. So is there going to be a place open where somebody can take their food and sit down and eat and really have a meal? You know, it's if we're just having a couple of little, you know, cocktail franks or something like that, you know, whatever the African version of that might be.
I think there's a pretty good chance they'll let you go into the Tusker House and sit down if you want.
Well, then that's fine. I mean, if you can really get your money's worth out of the food, and then you have a couple of drinks, well, that's $50 right there. So
there's also a pretty good chance that that's where they're going to serve the buffet in the Tusker House.
Yeah. So I mean, that's like I said, that's like a $50. Disney in the Disney world,
right.
$50 or more per person just in that. So you're paying an extra $50 or $60 to get this special event, which is what all special events cost in Disney. In fact, they're usually more than that now. But I agree with you. I think until we know the menu and what the scope is of what they're giving here, it's really hard to determine a price. But you know, I so far it doesn't sound it. I said it last time we talked about this. It's too thick for my blood, but that's because I'm cheap. But it doesn't seem to be a particularly poor value, is all I mean.
And the other thing that this is going to do, and we've talked about how the Animal Kingdom has been open later and later all the time. It's open until 8 o'clock. Even right now, where it's kind of slow, it's been open until 8 o'clock at night.
Right.
a couple hours after Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure, but that's neither here nor there. They're going to have to close the park every Saturday in July and August.
At 6 o'clock, yeah.
At 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my guess is that Saturday being Saturday, they must have the same information that a lot of the lines, you know, a lot of the park crowd trackers have, and maybe they know that that's a slow night for the Animal Kingdom. I mean,
I think it is. I think it's a big. Yeah. I think it's a big Magic Kingdom night. I think like a lot of people go there the first night. Saturday's usually a lot of times the first night,
right?
And or the last night, and that's typically a Magic Kingdom.
Right.
You know, day. So I do think that typically Saturday is not a big Animal Kingdom day. That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's hard to evaluate here, I would say. It's very exciting. And the other thing that you mentioned was people, you know, it possibly being sold out already. And I've heard that too. It's generating a buzz. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a neat idea.
It's very different than some other stuff. It's a lot different from Mickey's Not So Scary and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
But I'll tell you what. I was hoping for something like this. This is exact. I mean, Mike and I have talked about this a million times. I've been hoping for some sort of, like, food festival kind of thing, you know, at night as part of that thing. I'm a little disappointed that, you know, it's going to cost you $120 to do that.
Right.
And there's no getting around that. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, jump on the bandwagon here and say this is a great idea. In the long run, I like the concept. I like what they're delivering, but I don't think it's a great idea. To me, a great idea at Disney is one that everybody can do.
Well, they did the Sundowner Festival. I guess it was, what, June's?
Yeah.
Well, it was last year or maybe the year before.
I think it was the year before.
And that just didn't really create much buzz. Certainly not like this. I mean, this is creating a lot more of a stir than the Sundowner. People didn't even really talk about the Sundowner thing at all. But this is a hot topic.
Right. But if they did something, they could have done the Sundowner a little bit better than they did. Certainly could have invested money into it and made it bigger. This is a hot topic, yes. But it's mostly a hot topic because it's $120 a person.
and beer and wine. How much beer and wine can we get?
Exactly. That seems to be good.
Exactly. How much food can I eat and how much beer and wine can I drink? And exactly. I'll let you know if that's worth it.
Anything else on this, Mike, before we move along?
I don't think so. I think we covered it.
Okay, the next thing we want to talk about is, and this was something I posted a couple days ago, day after. I think it was on Saturday I did this. They also released our first sort of artist rendering, and I can't believe it's been this long before we got this. Our first artist rendering of essentially the new Harambe.
Right.
Quick impressions that I had, Mike, is, you know, I think we were both kind of worried about the end of the Spanish fort concept because it's an integral part of that area of the world. It's, you know, it's a really interesting sort of piece of history. That's obviously not ending. In fact, it seems like they've expanded on it.
Right.
The other thing that sticks out in my mind is there appears to be some really nice sort of eye candy in the water there. Some, you know, just some enhancements to the waterfront that look really, really interesting. What sticks out for you?
The waterfront. What do you mean by the eye candy in the water?
Well, if you look just off to the waterfront, there's like a couple of boats and a little,
you know,
an island there. You know, so they're expanding the visual out beyond what you can, beyond where the guests can be, and to sort of give a greater visual.
Yeah, I was happy about that because I always liked that little section of the beach there that had like the it was supposed to be, you know, where the fishermen pulled up their boats and left them on the water. And I was worried that was gone. It looks like they just sort of moved it downriver, really.
Exactly.
So I do like that, and I do like the fort. It looks like they kept the turret there that was there before.
Mm-hmm.
That had the cannon. And they just added some more of a little bit different kind of look, but still that kind of crumbling waterfront kind of look farther down the river. The thing that struck me is, again, they're showing, obviously in this picture, like a completely separate building off to the left. There's like a little causeway that's covered, and then a separate building all the way on the left of the river. That doesn't look like it's a part of the Lion King theater itself.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about. We've talked about that before.
We've talked about this building for quite a while, and this artist rendering doesn't help us figure it out at all.
No, but there seems to be a lot of people over there. I mean, yep. They draw a lot of people, like, gathered around over there. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't think that's, like, an exit for the Festival of the Lion King. I mean, it looks like a separate building that goes all the way down there. And we'll have to find out what that is.
It appears to me that the entrances and exits of the Festival of the Lion King are pretty well marked. There are two sort of, you can see they're exactly the same. Kind of, there's a center, darker overhang area that you can see there's a sort of an entrance in. And then to the left of that and to the right of it, you can see what looks like sort of the lion, the sort of stylized lion head. That I would assume would be the entrances inside the building. And the ones Mike's talking about is even off that, further to the left.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. I mean, you could still see the prayer tower. I think that's what it is, from all the way to the right, that kind of conical shape structure that was sort of in the back of the Tusker House. And that's the back of the Tusker House. And then there's a bunch of people gathered in sort of like a courtyard, and then there's the Festival of the Lion King building to the left of it. So, you know, it just looks like they've gone with the courtyard kind of look over there, and then, you know, the real thing is I love the waterfront, and I want to know what that building is.
Yeah, and I want to know what that building is on the left. I also kind of want to know, I'm glad you answered this, because this was a question I had for you. I wasn't really 100% sure of what that was on the right, how we were seeing this kind of all fit in to the, to the current Harambe.
Okay, yeah, but that conical shaped building is that is a Muslim prayer. I think it was a prayer tower, or maybe it's a Muslim design kind of thing, and it was kind of designed to incorporate that aspect of the Harambe background and show that was, you know, wasn't there's a strong Muslim presence in that part of Africa. And the building that's right behind it is the Tusker House. So then there's the sort of that courtyard, and then to the left of that is the Festival of the Lion King building. That what we see to the right is all previous structures. If that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
The other thing that I like about it is that the main building itself is really shaping up to be a gorgeous building. I mean,
it's huge too. It's huge.
It's huge, and it's absolutely stunning. And if you look at the name is escaping me. It's the name of a fort in it's in Kenya.
Fort Jesus?
Yes, it could be the one.
Okay,
that looks a little bit like that. You know, or it, not exactly, but it, right. You know, that's obviously an inspiration here. Mm-hmm. So it just really looks stunning. I mean, it really, really beautiful job here. I want to say that we're hoping that we're getting, you know, more than just the theater, but geez, Mike, it's getting late in the game and we still don't hear anything else.
That's true. That's true.
You know, I would have thought by now if there was going to be a restaurant, we may have heard it.
I would think. I don't know if it's going to be a restaurant.
Yeah. I think we're just going to get a gift shop?
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be a gift shop there somewhere. I mean, I'm almost sure of it.
Yeah.
There's also a couple of things. I mean, if you see the sort of photographs that people have taken over the wall, there's a couple of things that are not present in the concept art. Some small,
right?
Some small structures that would probably be selling things like hot dogs or kiosk, you know, DTC points or something along those lines.
Yeah.
That are not present in this concept drawing, but you know, you will see when the place opens.
I know that between this concept art and the pictures we've seen from over the wall, as Mike was saying, we are. This is what I'm excited about. This is going to be really cool. And I'm very pleased, and usually everybody knows how snarky I can be about expansions and changes to things, but this seems like they're doing it, so I'm impressed. Anything else you want to mention on this before we move on to the last one?
The only other thing is, and I might have even mentioned this last time, is we know this is going to be open by June 7th. I mean, that's at the very least. Disney is still saying that, just sometime in June. But we do know for sure that it's got to be by June 7th because they're going to be using that theater. They've already announced they're using the theater on June 7th. So I would imagine perhaps some soft openings of the Festival of the Lion King towards the end of May. So be on the lookout for it.
I've heard a possibility of, like you're saying, soft openings on Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
But no confirmation of that yet. So certainly some trial runs of the show here and there. So we'll keep you posted on that because that's right around the corner. The next and final piece of concept art, and really a stunning piece of concept art. I mean, with so much in it, Mike, I don't even know where to begin with this one. It's the Rivers of Light. They also released a really beautiful version of an artist's rendering of this Rivers of Light nighttime show, which we know is on its way. We have a couple of pieces of information from during the release, including the location of where it is.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, we now know the name.
Right. We now know that, but we've kind of known this already.
We knew the name for 284 days before they announced it. But now we know for sure that it's called Rivers of Light. But go ahead. You continue.
You know, it's so funny, Mike, because I forgot that we didn't really officially know it yet until you just mentioned that. I mean, we've just been calling it this forever. The first piece of real concrete information is where it's going to be, which they say in one of the postings that is associated with this, that it'll be on the broad natural stage of the Discovery River between Discovery Island and Expedition Everest. And for those of you who are not 100% familiar with it, if you go past the Anandapur, go past the Yak and Yeti and walk along that pathway towards Expedition Everest, which will eventually lead you around towards the Nemo Show Theater. That's the biggest open piece of water there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's going to be. So it looks like what we're getting, and tell me if you agree with this, is going to be more phantasmic and less water parade.
I'm thinking more wonder, you know, World of Color and less less night parade. My vision of a parade moving all over, you know, around the Discovery Island and et cetera, et cetera. Right. It doesn't seem to be the case. It seems to be more of a stationary kind of thing.
And we had been mentioning for a long time that we thought maybe some of the construction going on at Harambe might have to do with opening some good viewing areas for said parade. You know, along that waterfront there, and that's obviously not going to be at all, you know, we wouldn't even be able to see it from there because it'd be a bridge in your way.
Right. Yeah, like I said, it's much more stationary, and, you know, it sort of makes sense. I mean, just by the looks of the concept art, there's going to be water, you know, using the fountain, you know, the water spray technology to show, you know, things on the water. And I guess that's the Tree of Life in the background. So I'm assuming that the view you're looking at is sort of from the, I guess, that area around Everest up into the festival, you know, the Finding Nemo show, like that kind of area, because you're sort of looking straight on towards the Tree of Life. Does that make sense?
Yes, the Tree of Life is just off to the right a little bit.
Right,
off center to the right. Yeah, right. And if we look at some of the other kind of concept arts that have come along with the nighttime changes, we know that we're going to get some sort of illuminescence with regards to the tree.
Right, and they've confirmed again that live music is going to be a part of this show.
Hmm.
I saw that on the Disney Parks blog.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to.
I don't know how they're going to incorporate that. Yeah.
And the lanterns look cool. There's floating lanterns in the water,
right,
to the side. So that'll be interesting. And there seems to be, I don't know if you would call, I guess, you know, performers of some type. And it almost looks like they could be the ones playing instruments there on the water.
Yeah.
The two people in the center one look like they could be playing some sort of drums.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to really tell. You know, and there's all sorts of animals. It's hard to tell exactly what those animals are other than horses and eagles. But, I mean, are those mastodons or those elephants? I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. And perhaps most interesting and the most important to me is not one, you know, blue person present. I know there were some rumors that...
Blue person is what he said there, folks. Blue person.
Some rumors that the Avatar, you know, this was going to incorporate the Avatar stuff. It doesn't look like it to me.
No. And like you were saying, it looks like the focus is sort of the natural world and almost historically, too. At least that's kind of what you're getting out of this. There's not a whole lot of story you can glean out of these things. You know, this piece in the center almost looks Eastern in some way, yet on to the right and the left, it almost looks sort of Native American. You know, the animals, like Mike is saying, is depicting are mostly North American, or could be at least. You got wolves and horses and eagles and things like that, and deer. It's hard to pick any of that stuff out of there. But what really is mind-blowing to me is the grandeur they're going after with the scope of these projections. I mean, if you look at the size of that horse projection next to the man standing next to it, this is big. I mean, this is a big, powerful show.
Right. Who knows when it's going to open? I mean, that's the other thing is they did not give you it. All it says is in the years ahead.
I was just going to mention that. That's the bad news, yeah.
And they do say sometime between now and 2017. That's all they've said.
So they do say that it's going to open before Avatar.
All they said is sometime all of the shows, all the new stuff coming, Kilimanjaro Safaris at Night, the Avatar stuff, this will be open sometime between now and 2017. So take that for what you will.
So, Mike, of all these things we've seen, all these artist renderings, things we've seen here, what one has you going? What one gets you excited the most?
Well, this one. I mean, you want to see. I mean, this looks like it's going to be the kind of nighttime event. I mean, let me put it this way: the World of Color changed Disney's California Adventure. It made it like important to be there at night, and really took some of the pressure off of, Disneyland, because everybody was going to Disneyland. Nobody was going to California Adventure. Mm-hmm. And the World of Color was the first, even before Radiator Springs and all that kind of stuff opened, was the first kind of thing to sort of draw people to say, okay, we have to go to California Adventure. And I think this could have the same kind of effect for the Animal Kingdom. No longer will everybody who's, you know, at Disney World property is going to want to go see Wishes and maybe Illuminations. I mean, you're adding another thing to the mix where, you know, one of these six nights we're going to have to go to the Animal Kingdom at night to see this incredible show, because it's completely different from the fireworks at Wishes and Illuminations and even Fantasmic. I mean, it's a different type of show, which will, I think, create more of a nighttime atmosphere at the Animal Kingdom for sure, and open up, you know, perhaps we'll get more restaurants and things like that there. But perhaps most importantly for Disney, is alleviate some of the clear pressure that's on the Magic Kingdom now in terms of capacity and stuff for people going there at night and ending their day there all the time.
The thing I'm interested in seeing is, there's not a lot of space to stand and watch there. I mean, there is a lot of, that's the place that has the most amount of space.
Right.
But if it's a show that's only pointing in one direction, there's not an amphitheater that can hold the whole park like you have at Fantasmic or something like that. There's not a big capacity thing. So it'll be interesting to see how the patterns of, first of all, if this is going to happen every night. That's always a question you have to ask now. And if it does, how the patterns change for people arriving early to get a space to see it. And all that's going to change at Animal Kingdom now.
I think there'll be more. I think they'll have time to sort of develop the waterfront over there, to add more space for viewing, add maybe spaces, you know, near Finding Nemo and stuff that are closer down by the water, so that people can, which will likely be FastPass Plus sections and that kind of thing.
Right.
I was saw on Twitter, I don't remember who it was, but who said, you know, how long before they start using those, basically the sections of the Flame Tree Barbecue that are near the water as sort of, you know, the dessert party area for Rivers of Light, that kind of stuff. I mean, there's plenty of space there. They're going to have to clear some of it and make some room for people to stand and gather.
This the area facing the Finding Nemo and Dinoland is definitely the place that's sort of ripe for it, because there's no intrusion into architecture and story and things like that. But then there's also a big blank sort of space between Expedition Everest and Anandapur, you know, between the town and Expedition Everest. They could do something there as well.
They could.
They'd have to maybe build up a little bit so you don't see it along the roads and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, there's a lot that's going to have to come be incorporated in this. Lot, but the most fascinating thing to me is that it's going to turn, you know, at a time where right now everybody's leaving the Animal Kingdom, this is going to be the time now where everybody's going to be arriving at the Animal Kingdom,
right,
for a couple of years, and that's going to be a game changer. And like how Mike was saying, in the way they look at the facilities and everything that's done there, restaurant openings and drinks being open and food throughout the place, it's all going to have to be rethought out. And all done from scratch, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things are going to have to now remain open, or they're going to have to open new things and things like that. So it'd be interesting to see what the timing of all this is. So we'll keep you posted. And Mike mentioned the Blue Guys. There was also an Avatar video that came out. Now, I watched a few minutes of it, and there didn't seem to be any new information in it. Mike, you didn't get anything out of there, did you?
No, I mean, it was literally 2 minutes and 30 something seconds of Tom Staggs and then a little bit of James Cameron and Joe Rohde, just pretty much rehashing everything that you saw or that came out after the, I guess it was the Tokyo D23.
Right.
They spent a lot of time talking about bioluminescence in that 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, they really seem to be harping on it. In fact, Tom Staggs said there are three elements that we really are bringing. And that is, you know, the floating mountains,
mm-hmm.
and the bioluminescence forest and being able to ride on the Banshee. And those are the three things that everybody wanted to see. And that's what we're going to bring to Avatar Land. So, I mean, but we already sort of knew that anyway.
Yeah.
But other than that, there was really nothing else. There wasn't any new models, certainly no new concept art. They just kept rehashing the ones we've already seen.
And no new time frames or anything like that either.
No, just 2017. It'll be completed by.
Now, Mike, beyond the Animal Kingdom, were there any other? You're the world news guy. Are there any other stories to report out of this sort of event information download that we got Friday morning?
Well, one minor one and one, I guess, fairly bigger one. One, the minor one, I would say, is the Seven Dwarves Mine Coaster they announced is going to be open for, you know, the public as a whole on May 28th. So you could start making your Fast Pass Pluses for the Seven Dwarves Mine Coaster, you know, starting May 28th, or you can make it now for May 28th. Obviously, it'll probably soft open a little bit before that, but it's not ready to go quite yet. So even though some press and media wrote it, it's currently right now it is not open to the public.
Now, Mike, we've been talking about. How we hope it's going to they're really hoping that this is the grand slam. Have we been hearing any for the press that have been been on it? Has there been any kind of reviews, any kind of idea of how well it's being received? Or,
well, I mean, you have to remember the press that were on it were the ones that drink the Kool-Aid.
Okay.
Right. So everybody,
that's why we don't get invited, Mike.
No, it's that way. Yeah, that's exactly right. I think most of the general consensus is it's a fun ride. You know, it's a great, you know, it's a nice ride, but it's not Everest.
Well, I am going to be in Disney in the summer, mm-hmm. for only a matter of a couple of days, and I honestly didn't have any plans going over to the Magic Kingdom because I'm there for a very limited amount of time. But if this starts getting reviewed very well, I might change my mind and go over. And at least...
Well, I'm going there. I'm going to ride it.
Oh, sure. But you're going to be there a lot longer than I am. I'm only going to be there for a matter of a couple of days, and I've got business to attend to.
Okay.
Well, I got to see the new Harambe. That's the,
yeah, I know, but...
you know, I'll be there most of my time.
It's been 2 hours over there at, but anyway.
I guess I probably could. But what was the big story?
The big one is they announced some stuff for the Polynesian.
Yeah,
the Polynesian will be called, and I like this, the Polynesian Village Resort again. They're going back to the old school Polynesian Village mm-hmm. name. Trader Sam's, the Trader Sam's Grog Grotto is coming to, and this is a poorly kept secret, that Trader Sam's was coming from California here to the Polynesian. It's sort of, you know, basically it's like Adventurers Club Lite you know, has some of those elements of kind of goopy things on the walls and animatronic, you know, whatever kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. No actors or anything like that, just fun decor. So that's coming. It's very, very popular.
Mike, explain a little bit more what it is.
It's a bar. It's essentially a bar.
Not a restaurant.
It is not a restaurant, okay. But it has all sorts of fun decor, tiki stuff. You know, people have, you know, Trader Sam's has gathered stuff over the course of his career, you know, gathering different knickknacks from all over the world. And,
right.
And some of them are a little more alive than others. I mean, they have one, you know, that's like this octopus arm coming out of the wall and draped around the rafters and holding, you know, something or other. There's clamshells with pearls in them and, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Sure.
It's a fun, fun place. People, like I said, people love it. It is super small. In Disneyland, it is not a big place at all. And from what I can gather, they're talking about, and, you know, things I've heard is that it's only going to be able to sit about 50 people inside. And maybe, you know, double that outside. But being outside kind of defeats the purpose.
Right.
So, again, it's not a big place. And I imagine, I'm sort of thinking this might be sort of Beaches and Cream all over again. You know, really hard to, such a small and popular place, it's going to be hard to get a seat.
Yeah.
And the probably even bigger than that, or maybe not bigger than that, but they have released concept art for what the lobby is going to look like.
Okay.
And obviously the water feature that we're all, you know, the big, you know, waterfall kind of thing in the middle of the lobby is pulled out in favor of essentially some sort of tiki god kind of thing. There's water involved in that, but it's on a much smaller scale. Mm-hmm. The lobby is much more wide open, much more, I don't know, kind of that Polynesian look to it with the wicker and the fans and the, you know, it's very wide open kind of, and the, you know, the decor above you with the wind chimes and things like that are nice. I don't think you're a fan, correct?
No, I hate it.
I like it.
You like it?
I do. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, I would take this over the water feature or anything like that. I mean, I like the classic Polynesian look, but this looks very nice. I like the wide open look to it. I like kind of the aspects of Adventureland that are being used here. I mean, it's, which was originally the purpose of the Polynesian. Mm-hmm. What don't you like about it?
Well, okay, so the first thing you hear is they're going to return it to the Disney's Polynesian Village Resort.
Right.
And so everybody's like, wow, that's great. We're going to use it. They even start showing out the old concept. And then you look at the concept, you're showing the old logos and stuff. And you look at the concept, you realize they're not returning anything. They're not restoring the Polynesian Village. They're just using that name to lower the blow of the fact that they're going to redesign, you know, one of the best lobbies of a hotel that they've built. I think the water feature is what made it so great, and it's been such a shame that it's been in the state that it's in. And in typical Disney fashion, rather than fixing it and putting the money in to fix it, they're just gonna demo it and put a floor down instead. Mm-hmm. You know, a big, and the other thing about it is that on the artist rendering, there's nothing in there that makes you go, oh, wow, okay, well, they're getting rid of the water feature, but boy, they're putting that in. That's really cool. There's no grand fireplace or anything like that. There's no, you know, the Animal Kingdom Lodge has huge, giant window looking out onto the savannah, and the you know, all of the different architectural elements that you see in the Wilderness Lodge, a lobby as well. There's nothing like that there. It's just, we're taking it out, putting in a standard lobby furniture that we have hanging around upstairs. You know, we're going to put the same kind of stuff downstairs. That's all I see.
I just see a more open air kind of lobby, which I like. Again, I'm not disparaging the water feature at all. It was unique.
Yes.
But I'll give you that it was a very unique lobby. And this is more, you know, Aulani kind of look to it, you know. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I like the looks of it. I mean, if they're going to get rid of the water feature, they're doing a fine job of replacing it. I really don't have – I'm not going to complain about it too much. I mean, the water feature – I mean, I understand some people are very sad that the water feature is going. It's really not that big of a deal to me. It's not a deal breaker for me.
It's not, I would if somebody told me that they were building a Hawaiian themed resort and this is what it looked like, I'd say that's great. But in context of what it once was, which was a very impressive water feature, and Mike, I mean, it's a signature thing. First of all, they don't need more space down there. People can get around there without any issue. The promenades around the pathways around the water feature are always large enough to get around. There's not a bottleneck of people walking around, so they weren't want for space. And they're not even using the space for anything in particular. If they were, I would understand. But they're just taking it away. They're just demoing it because they don't want to be bothered trying to upkeep it anymore. Because it's been 30 years of doing this, and you have to paint it all the time and fix it and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's really at the heart of what it is. And I'm not going to be convinced otherwise. I mean, that's why they're doing it. So it's just disappointing that they're taking away this great kind of nostalgic feature of Walt's Polynesian resort. This is one of the two things that, besides the park, that has Walt's hands in it. And, sometimes, Mike, I'm not a nostalgia one for this kind of stuff.
Right.
But there's very little of that in Florida. There really is not a big connection between Florida anymore and Walt, But this is one of those things, and I would have really appreciated if when they were going to return it back to its original name, that they returned it back to what it was, and restored that to what it was. And I hate the fact that they're just going to throw it away. And that's design-wise, it's fine. All aesthetically, I don't think it's going to be as good as the water feature, but it's still going to be fine. I mean, I'm not saying that it looks bad or anything like that. I just wish that they had... restored it to what it was rather than taking the easy route out.
Yeah. I mean, and there was no other real announcements with the Polynesian. There was no information about the DVC and the things on the water or the Neverland Club becoming a Hawaiian theme or the the Infinity Hot Tub that apparently is coming, which they have in Alani. I mean, they're sort of making the Polynesian sort of
Alani West or Alani East.
Alani East, kind of. They're adding a lot of that. Even the lobby is kind of Alani-esque.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing, but...
No.
But they're very... They're pulling that theme in there for sure.
Yeah, and everybody knows how I feel about Joe Rohde. I'm sure his design, if they're using his designs, that's terrific. I love to see that. I just, it's one of the few places that I think is a piece of nostalgia there and one that works on its own and could continue to be what it is forever if they just put the time and effort into it. But hey, who am I to say? So have we wrapped it all up?
I think so.
All right. Well, we can't have a show without a couple of plugs. So let me plug away. I want to make sure we plug the bracelets again.
Okay.
Brooke, our fellow Jumbo Everyone contributor, she's making these really safari, gorgeous safari-inspired kind of bracelets. She's donating all the proceeds from the sales to our conservation partners. You can go to our blog. Go to jumboeveryone.com. Click on the blog. You'll see in the top right hand of the top right sidebar, you'll see a photo of a bracelet. You click through there and you get all the information you need to get that going.
And feel free to DM me.
You can contact or myself. And contact me. You can contact Mike. You can email us at jumboeveryone@gmail.com. You can direct message us. They are $18. Payments are by PayPal only, and that includes shipping. Like I said, just contact one of us and we'll get that going for you. Also, we have a store at Zazzle.com where, again, Zazzle.com/JumboEveryone. We have some great designs in there. Not a half-day park t-shirts. And boy, is that going to come in handy in a couple of years. like I said, Zazzle.com/JumboEveryone. Again, we donate everything to our conservation partners. I actually sold our last Radio Harambe shirt today, Mike. They're all gone.
Really?
Officially gone. Yep.
Didn't even know we had any more.
Yeah, we had a couple, and I would, every once in a while somebody would ask. I wanted to kind of have a few hanging around for people who came to them. But so if you want any kind of design stuff, you got to go to Zazzle.com/JumboEveryone, and maybe we'll actually upload the Radio Harambe stuff to that too. Visit our website, JumboEveryone.com. Hit our conservation page. You can see how we can all help save wildlife. I'm on Twitter, at Radio Harambe. Mike said, at Jombo Everyone. All the other social media things are on there, too. Subscribe to the show. I guess that's it, Mike, right?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this special edition. We will be back with a normal show in a probably 10 days' time or so. So for Safari Mike, I'm Dave McBride. Kwaherini, go well. And thank you for listening to Radio Harambe. Now